You know, if you're going to be successful in life, you have to learn how to hold on to confidence. Your confidence is what brings success. I'm talking about being obedient in what God has promised and confident in what He will accomplish because His Word says it. You know, when people lack confidence, they don't have success. Actually, a lack of confidence actually attracts negativism. And, you know, people tend to take advantage of people that don't have any confidence. And the enemy likes to take advantage of Christians who don't have the confidence that they should have. I know sometimes on the athletic field, they say that somebody has lost their confidence. That's why they're not performing like they should. In fact, I don't know how many. I'm being from Texas. I know a little bit about riding horses. I've ridden several. If you get bucked off of a horse, the first thing you want to do is go get back on that horse immediately, or people lose their confidence in riding. Any of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. If you ever notice, a lot of times if a quarterback throws an interception, the next play, the coach calls another pass play. Why? Because he wants him to keep his confidence. Having confidence is beneficial both spiritually and naturally. Having confidence makes a difference of whether you're successful or not successful. Being confident can actually depend upon whether you get promoted or not. When I was going to Bible college and I was working on the freight dock, the foreman came down the dock asking different people, can you do this, can you do that? Everybody was saying no, and I said, yeah. And one of the guys that actually rode in our carpool with us from the school, there was two carloads of us that worked there. And they said, Hagin, do you really know how to do that? I said, well, I know a little bit about it. But I believe what the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I had confidence in the fact that I could depend on God to help me. I also had confidence to know that we didn't have the internet back then, and I could go to the library at school and get some of these. And I had some friends that I knew that worked in that area that I could call them and get something. I was confident that by the time I got back there on 2 o'clock the next day, I could do the job, and I got it because I believed I had confidence. I believe Jeremiah is not the most favorite book in the Bible to read, but because it was written during a time when Israel had been in captivity for many years, and idolatry and disobedience to God was rampant, and Jeremiah's called a weeping prophet, and actually it's because he was always lamenting over the spiritual condition of Israel. The people of Israel didn't pay much attention to Jeremiah, but he kept preaching anyway. If you read it, you'll find that out. You know, actually he was thrown into prison for what he was saying. You know, we could say the heat was turned up on him, but the prophet kept on doing what he was confident to do, what he was told to do. Now let's look at Jeremiah 17:7 in the NLT. He's talking about making it through adversity. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green. They never stop producing fruit. I want you to notice that Jeremiah is saying here that people that have made the Lord their confidence would be blessed. During the difficult times, I'm sure Jeremiah had to maintain his confidence in what God had told him to do, because he wasn't getting much response from his audience at all. I'm sure he had to remind himself time and time again, this is what God said, this is what God said, this is what God said. I'm confident. I'm going to do what God said. You know, if you're going to learn to be successful in life in general or in your spiritual life, you have to learn how to trust God and hold on to your confidence. Some people say, well, you got to believe in yourself. I've had coaches say to us in the locker room, you got to believe you can before you can. You got to believe you can do it before you can do it. You got to believe that the Word of God will come to pass in your life before it ever happens. Come on now. You know, some people are confident as long as everything's going good. But when the heat gets turned up, and things are not going very well, they start second-guessing themselves. They start second-guessing. Well, I wonder if the Word's going to work this time. The Word always works. Don't lose your confidence. You know, I want to encourage you today, just hold on to your confidence. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what has happened in your life. Hold on to your confidence in what the Word of God says. Too many people, as we're going through different seasons in life, are losing their confidence. We have got to learn to hold on to our confidence in what God said. Now, listen to what Paul said in Philippians 4:11 through 13. I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Here, Paul tells us how to live with confidence in every situation in our lives. He stated that his confidence was in Christ, that Christ could help him to get through and do all things because Christ had already won the victory. You have to be confident then. In other words, place your confidence in God and he'll help you get through every situation of life. You know, life down here is a journey. And there is high times and low times. Oh, somebody said, well, you shouldn't say it. Hey, we got to face the fact. Sometimes there's low times. And that is when you've got to really hold on to your confidence, because that's when the enemy will come in and try to destroy you and steal the Word of God from you. You know, there are seasons when you're on a mountaintop, and there are seasons when you have to deal with all kinds of situations and you're in the valley. Some people say, oh, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. Yesterday I was flying high, and today I can hardly get out of bed. Oh, God, used to feel him so close. Now I don't feel him at all. Everything was good yesterday, but look at what's happening today. I'm in the biggest trial I ever had. Yesterday I was shouting victory. Today I'm crying. Life has its ups and downs, naturally and spiritually. We are not always, we come to meetings like this and like the Winter Bible Seminar, and it's going to be high and it's going to be great, and you're going to have that great feeling, and you're going to be on the mountaintop. But you're going to get back home and the enemy going to hit you up beside the head with something. You got to have that same confidence that you had here whenever the enemy comes in and takes you down, tries to take you down. Situations change. People change. Sometimes promises are not kept. But the promises of God are always kept. He never breaks a promise. Most of us have had a promise broken in our lifetime, but God's promises, they're never broken. He never does. You know, sometimes we're going to face trouble and sometimes things are going to run smoothly. It doesn't matter. Our confidence has to be the same when everything is going good and when everything is going bad. The same confidence. What is that? I believe God. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. You know, what do you do in the midst of all of your difficulties? Keep on doing what you've always been doing. Believe in God. Shouting the victory. Oh, but I don't feel like shouting. That don't make any difference. God is still the same God. So shout anyway. Praise God anyway. In fact, I've seen a lot of people through the 63 years in the ministry that could shout when everything's going good, but when things went bad, their shout was gone. I lived in the house of a man that he was the same. I don't care what was happening. I don't care what situations were. I don't care what was coming against him or what. I don't care how high we were, how low we were. He was the same all the time. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. His confidence was in the word and he never backed off. I guess that's why he always say, hey, don't get negative. Stay positive. The word of God is positive. The word of God says it will happen. See, so many times we got to look at the word, what the word says. You know, God said, I will supply all your needs. Will is a strong word. That means it's going to happen. Any of you, I know my mama, I don't know about you guys, but when my mama said, Kenneth Wayne Hagin, you will do such and such, I knew right then there was no shadow of a doubt that I wasn't going to do exactly what she said. Anybody been there besides me? When she said, you will, there's no shadow of a doubt that it is not going to happen. And when God said he will, there's no shadow of a doubt that it won't happen. If you want to make it through life successfully, you've got to hold on to your confidence in God. That's on the spiritual side. On the natural side, you got to be confident in yourself that you can make it. You got to believe you can. The writer of Hebrews sort of echoes exactly what Jeremiah said. Hebrews 10:35. So don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Now, most people don't like the way the NLT says that in verse 36. Patient endurance. But you go back over there and read in Timothy, Paul says, endure like a soldier. You see, we've got to learn to hold our confidence and be patient and let God work it out. Our confidence, we keep our confidence, but our problem is that we start talking to God about doing something, and then we try to start making it happen ourselves. No, just be patient and say, I believe God. You know, when Paul was on that pitch and rolling deck of that ship, and he told them, he said, I believe God as it was told me. You know, he didn't go try to make anybody do anything. He didn't try to change anything. He just said, this is what I believe, my confidence in God. This is what it's going to be. This ship is going to go down and we're all going to be saved. Man, that's confidence. He said, I believe God even as it was told me. You need to be able to hold your Bible in your hand and said, I believe God even as it has been told me. Even when things are not going right. Now you see, most people say, oh well, they would want God to save the ship. No, he said the ship's going down, but if everybody does what you tell them to do, they'll all be saved. Wait a minute. Now I know I'm getting getting some funny looks right there, but that's what God said. Yeah, I guess he could have taken the storm away, because we read where he did that in other times. He took the storm away, but this time he said, listen, have confidence in what I say, believe what I say, and everybody's going to be safe. Come on now. Don't throw away your confidence. Many times we start out great, but whenever things don't happen as quick as we think they should, we start questioning, and that is losing confidence. When you declare it, then keep your expectation turned on and keep your confidence turned on and say, I don't care what I see, I don't care what I feel, but the Word of God says it. My confidence is in what God said, and it will come to pass. I'm talking about holding on with confidence. Hey, let me tell you what. It's not hard. It's not easy to hold on to confidence when you're getting beat up and battered. But the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you will hold on to your confidence in what the Word says, you'll come out on the other side. Sometimes things come to challenge us. In the natural, when things don't happen as quick as you want, your excitement and your expectation begins to wane. If we're not careful, we can get distracted, because we live in a busy world. Sometimes people, because all of the problems that come in on top of them, they begin to forget what God said. You got to always remind yourself of what God said. That's why it's so important to continually renew your mind with the Word of God, so that when the heat comes on, the pressure comes on, out of your mouth doesn't come, oh my God, what are we going to do? Out of your mouth comes out, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. My God will take care of me. My God will deliver me. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what I see. I don't care what that person's doing or this person's doing or what this person said. All I care about is what God said. God said it. My confidence is in the Word, and I will come out victorious. It may not look like it. It may not feel like it, but I believe God. Therefore, it will happen. But that's the kind of confidence you're going to have to face in the middle of it, in the face of adversity. The enemy will come to steal the Word from you. If he can get you to lose your confidence, you will not win the battle. How does he come to steal? He comes to harass our minds. That's why the Word of God said, renew your mind with the Word, because he comes against us within our thoughts. Come on now, don't look at me like I fell out of a tree. I did, but I didn't hit my head. Not only does he attack us, But he sometimes goes after our families. We got to stay confident there. You got to learn how to speak over your family every day. I claim the 91st Psalm over my entire family. I call all of their names every day. I prayed those Ephesians prayer for myself. And I put my name in there. And then I pray those Ephesians prayer for my family. I put their names in there. Why? Because that's my confidence is in what God said. Not what I see. Not what's going on. But what God said. I can't get away from that. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I keep going. I know I said it a couple, three times. I may say it 14 more times before this service is over. You need to get a hold of that. It was drilled in my head by my dad. He had it written in the sci-fi loop of his Bible. That's what he lived. That's where his confidence was. That's, you know, hey, when people don't have good self-confidence, one of the things they do, and I learned this when I was taking college and took some psychology courses, is they have them write their name over and over and over again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, the way you keep your confidence of who you are in Christ, see, that's what it all comes back to, is you have to continually speak out of your mouth who you are in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm more of a conqueror in Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And the list goes on. But you need to learn to do it. As you begin to say those things, confidence comes. Why? Because as you begin to say them over and over again, they become a part of you. That's why you need to continually say them. They need to be so ingrained in you that when the enemy comes against you, the word of God starts coming out. Just like you learned the multiplication table in school, you went over and over and over and over and over and over and over it again until it becomes such a part of you as today. I could yell out 9 times 9. How many of you had to think about it? How many of you had to still go counting to find out? No, the minute I said 9 times 9, it popped into your head. Am I right? Why? Because it became a part of you. Way back, and some of you many years ago, like myself, many years ago. That's what we need to see. That's where your confidence comes, because you know it. You're confident. That's what we need to do with the word. Determined to remain confident. Make up your mind. Nobody is going to steal my confidence. Psalms 27:3. David talking here, I believe. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. He's saying here, if an army surrounds me, my heart won't be afraid. My spirit, man, won't be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. Going back to the sports field, there've been many times that we're behind, and some of the other team members start. Well, we don't know what. I was always confident. I would say, "Get that out of your head. We can win this game." You can tell. You can watch a team, a football team, walk off of the field after 4 downs. and the way they go off of the field will tell you whether they have confidence or not. How many of you guys that play ball, football, know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The way, hey, your own team. You get some of them, you're confident. I don't care what happened, you're still confident that you can do it. We're on the playing field of life. And God has told us, I don't care if the attack comes, remain confident. Learn to persevere and maintain your confidence in the middle of the storm. In the middle of everything just going crazy. Romans 8:25. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Patiently and confidently. When you call things that be not as though they are, you have to be patient and confident. Come on now. If you learn to remain patient and confident, your confidence will bring rich reward. According to Hebrews 10:35, we already read it, we read it again. So don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings. God will perform his word. He has promised to do so. Can God lie? The Bible says God's not a man. He said it. He will do it. We've all had people that have said they'd do something, but they didn't do it. Right? Not God. My confidence is in him. When we hold on to our confidence, God will bring triumph every time. You know, as you look around this campus, you see a lot of buildings. We started with that one on the corner and half of the one behind it right over there, SDC on the other side, SDC. And I had a meeting in 1976, right after we had moved out here, with the head of the Chamber of Commerce, the mayor, everybody that was anybody in the city. I had them all come to a dinner. And I showed them a plot plan of wherever building sets today. And there wasn't nothing but land except that building and half of the one on the corner there. And they all shook their heads and said, yeah. Because see, they'd heard people talk before. They had seen a lot of plans. But it wasn't but just a few years and we started building. And somebody said, well, hey, Rhema's building again. Oh, when's it going to be finished? Now, they have confidence in what I said. Yes. Back then, they didn't know. They had to see it, and it began to happen. See, we've got to learn to have confidence in God's word when we don't see it. They saw the plot plan. This building sets right exactly where the auditorium was. Every building sets exactly where. There's my wife. She can tell you. I had that plan. One of our board members was an architect. He's the one that did the plot plan. You see, they didn't have confidence that I was going to accomplish that until we started and they saw it happening, then they began to have confidence in what we said. We have to have confidence in God's word. When nothing is happening, we just got to have confidence in what the word says. They began to believe in Rhema when they saw something happening. I believed it when there was nothing but ground out here. There wasn't anything. A field. Right here. Some of you that went to school here, before this, we had the student, SDC 1 and 2, but this is just a big old field. How many of you that went to school here remember when there's just a big field out here? We come out here and play ball. Hey, but you see, I'm talking about confidence. I was confident in that what God had said and told me to do. He didn't tell me where to build the buildings, but I knew that in the plan that I had to have the buildings. So I'm calm. I go and I designed it. But I was confident in that God would accomplish what he said, told me to do. You got to believe that. You got to believe his word. Even when it looks like it's not going to happen, you still got to believe God's word. My confidence in the word of God has this campus where it is today. Do you realize that we bought that first 6 acres with that building on the corner and half the one behind it? Everything else we got, they came to us. Would you like to buy this? There was a person who even came to us. Student housing was in foreclosure, and a person came and said, would y'all like to have this? I think we can get it out of foreclosure. Y'all can get it? Yeah. Do you realize I bought property? I bought things when at the time I really didn't need them. But my confidence was in what God had told me to do. And I believed the word, and I believe what the word of God says there, the word, and we're sitting in it today. Confidence. I'm talking about confidence. I didn't even intend to do that. That wasn't even here. But the Lord told me, said, show them how you had to have confidence to follow me in building Rhema. That help anybody? We got to learn to keep our confidence active at all time. Okay, how do we do that? All right. You keep your heart right with God. The Word of God is your guide. And the way you should conduct your life and what you should do. Even if everything is going good, you're confident. When it's going bad, you're the same. Have you ever noticed that some people, as long as everything's going good, they're fine, but it starts going bad and they're not the same? A guy told me the other day, he said, Hagin, I've known you for, just a guy, he said, I've known you for a long time. And he said, you're the same all the time. Why? Because I know who I am in Christ. I know who I am. I know what I can do in the natural. And come back to what I say, natural, supernatural, working together, make the explosive force of God. And I just maintain, I'm me. And I'm going to do what God says to do. And I believe that God will do what he said to do. And he would do. And we're going to come out on top every time. You see, James says, the hardest thing that we have to do is control our tongue. What we say. You got to keep saying the right thing. Oh, not, oh, what am I going to do? No, you got to say, I'm confident that my God will see me through. Another thing you can do is to keep your confidence in the promises of God. Trusting with no fear that what he said, he will do. Will fear try to come in? Yes. And that's where you need the scripture. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. That's the thing that the enemy tries to attack people with more than anything else, is fear, because when fear comes in, confidence goes out the window. Confidence and fear can't operate together. And another thing you can do is to say, no matter what, my confidence is in God. My trust is in God. I am confident that what he said, he will do. Where did I learn this kind of confidence? From a man that I'm named after, Kenneth E. Hagin. One night, it's in the summer before I would be six in September. We preached a meeting out in West Texas. We got in the car, driving to McKinney, Texas, to Pastor Mama's house, my grandmother, my dad's mom. I remember we stopped at a gas station, and gas was cheap in those days, like 12 cents a gallon. When I was in high school, it was 12 and 14, it was 14 cents. Sometimes they get a gas war on, and it'd be, y'all don't know about them, but used to the stations, they'd get to have a war, and I've seen it be 10 cents a gallon. But Dad stopped, and he bought gas. And I saw how much money he spent. And I saw how much gas went into that car. And I knew that wouldn't get us where we were going. When I asked Dad about it, he said, yeah, son, I used all the money I've had. But he prayed and he said, all right, Lord, I would have bought more gas. But that's all the money they gave me when I preached. And that's all the money I have. And I expect this car to run till we get to Mama's house. And I would sit there behind him on a trunk. My sister would sleep on the back seat, and Mom would be over here, sleep most of the time. Then we're driving at night. We always drove at night. Because back in them days, we had no air conditioning, and in the summertime, it was hot, and it's better on your tires and everything. And I'd sit there and talk to him, and I'd watch that gas gauge go from half full, because that's what it was, down to E. That car sputtered a little bit. Dad said, Lord, I expect this car to run till I get home. Thank you. I watched that car run all the way. The next morning, he gave me a little gas can, and I walked a couple of three blocks down to a little neighborhood filling station and grocery store. They don't have those now. Anybody used to know when they used to sometimes have filling stations and little grocery stores in the middle of neighborhoods? Anybody remember that? So I went down. We put the fuel, put it in. You opened the gas cap, and you didn't even smell gas. I mean, you can put your nose down on it. You can smell that. We put it in. We still couldn't get it started. I had to go get some more, and we had to pour gas down the carburetor to get the thing started. The point I'm trying to make is that Dad acted the same when we got in that car, his confidence in the Word and in God as he did in the church service. He was the same. His confidence in the Word was the same. In the good times, in the bad times, in the lack times, in the plenty times, I've been there, I've watched it, and all I want to try to do to you today is to get you to realize, hold on to your confidence in what God said. I don't care what you're facing, I don't care what you see, I don't care what's happening, hold on to your confidence in God. We used to sing a song, I loved it, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. That's confidence right there. This is, I'm just not talking about when things are going well. It says when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, I still, by the living word of God, I stand on the promise. My confidence is there. I'm talking about remaining confident in every area of your life, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, or 366 if it happens to be leap year. How many of you got anything out of what I had to say today? Everybody stand right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you that I've just simply reminded these people of things that they already know. I just wanted to, like Peter, stir up their pure minds with that, what they already know, get them once again excited about believing God. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You got something, Dan?
And I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord.